The strongest predictor whether a person will end up in prison. Twice as likely to suffer from mental health problems. 5 times a greater chance of having a mood disorder. And are more likely to raise children in poverty. Yes, we are talking about fatherless homes. Welcome back to Stomping on Eggshells. I'm your host, Anthony Newton. Let's jump into this. All right, so today I sort of wanted to talk about, just sort of a couple different things, right? So the nuclear family, what sort of happened with the decline in marriages as well as the increase in divorces, right? And sort of how they coincide with different things that happened around the time, right? So, there's correlation, not exactly causation, but very strong, correlations where, you can sort of come to your own, objective opinion. Let's jump into this, right? So, the nuclear family, right? So if you don't know what I'm talking about when you say nuclear family, right? So what is the nuclear family? So the nuclear family is defined as a group of people who are united by ties of partnership and parenthood and consisting of a pair of adults and their socially recognized children. All right, so just like break that down a little bit, right? We're just talking about, the American family, right? So what exactly that looked like, in the old days, right, in the past, and sort of how we've gotten to the point to where we don't really see much of that anymore, or we see less than before, right? So, regardless of what your family sort of looks like, right? You have a father in the home, you have a mother in the home, they may be 2 children, right? And they just live these normal lives, right? So, whether it's the, 2 people working, it's the mom staying home and raising the kids while the father goes to work, right? That might look different for everybody. Nuclear family, right? And those statistics that I gave in the beginning are crucial, right? Because those are statistics from fatherless homes, right? And, it's easy to say, you can't blame the mothers for that, or, whatever argument is trying to be made, guys aren't this or that, right? None of that stuff actually matters, right? What matters, right, and what we, what we have tangibly are the statistics that just say, statistically, the outcomes of growing up in single-parent households are just insane, right? So regardless of, whether you think it's the men's fault for running out or the woman's fault for, not getting married before you carry or not choosing the right guy, right? Whatever, whatever you feel like is, your opinion or your view of things, right? The facts are still the facts, right? So, a lot of people say, facts don't care about your feelings or F your feelings. I'm not going to be the one to, put whatever out there. However, you just look at the statistics, right? And so the fact that, they're more likely to go to prison, they're more likely to become rapists, right? They're more likely to have mental disorders, more likely to commit suicide, right? So they're at a disadvantage in every statistical category, right? By and large, right? This is not saying that, you know, oh, you know, it's the kids' fault, right? Because they're just children, right? They can't help where they grew up, right? But in general, right, we understand that there's a reason why, you know, like there's a reason why it's been this way since the dawn of time, right? So first thing is, you know, as humans, right, you have a penis and you have a vagina. One goes into another, you know, something shoots out of one of them and then somebody winds up pregnant, right? That's somebody being the woman, right? Taking you through a little bit of that anatomy lesson, right? But let's bring it back. You have all of that, right? And before the whole Disney and strong, independent woman and we get to do this and that, there was clearly defined roles for a reason, right? And I'm not the person that is going to say, oh, you know, women should, you know, stay home and cook and clean and blah, blah, blah. You know, not saying that's a bad idea, because I think, you know, most women would rather do that and not work, from all of the interactions I've had. But I digress, right? But I will say that, you know, having clear and concise roles make families work, right? They, you know, before, you know, all of this Disney, you know, I love you, you know, everything should be happy and everybody should be happy and there should be nothing wrong, right? People understood that to, you know, to live, right, and to raise a family, you needed a father and you needed a mother, right? And because the mother has something to give to the child, just as the father has something to give to the child, right? So the father creates stability. The father creates, you know, like less chaos, right? The father provides, the father protects, right? The father shows you how to, you know, shows the boy how to be a man, also shows the, you know, his little girls, you know, how they should be protected and, you know, like how they should act in the world, right? And then the mom is supposed to be the carer, right? So, you know, she provides the emotional support for everybody. You know, she also, you know, can, you know, be the protector as well, but, you know, she's the nurturer, right? And, you know, as much as everybody try to push against biology, that is just a fact, right? We understand that, you know, even when you look in the workforce, you know, as much as people want to, you know, get the bag and work, you know, they still are choosing jobs where they're nurturing, right? So whether it's nurses or doctors or, you know, teachers, right? The same, you know, they're going into those same sort of fields when, you know, like you were doing the same thing, you know, at home and maybe just, you know, getting paid in, you know, different ways, like taking care of the children, right? So now, like, let's look at, you know, sort of what happened and I guess try to come up with some sort of perspective on, you know, like why the shift was, right? And so it seemed to be, right, a heavy correlation, right, between the 1970s and the 1990s, right? And I know a lot of things were happening, right? Just women were getting more opportunities. They were able to do things, I guess, that they hadn't done in the past. You know, there was also, you know, a bunch of things, right? So, you know, the Industrial Revolution, you know, like, you know, the technological booms, which, you know, happened a little bit early, obviously. But, you know, it's sort of like trying to find the correlation between those, right? So when you look into, you know, the Black family home, right, it just seems like there's just a stronger correlation, right, you know, between government assistance and, you know, Black women just wanting to be strong and independent. And, you know, we sort of see how that's working out because 1 in 4 Black women will get married. Most people are, you know, not just Black people are, you know, having kids in, you know, 30s or waiting, or, you know, some people are having kids early, right, in the Black community, and they're just not getting married, right? And we've already went through the statistics, which just makes sense that, you know, most Black homes, you know, don't have a father. I actually don't know the percentages on that, so, you know, don't quote me on that. But, you know, I'll come back and put a plug in the percentages, if, like, if I do have them. But I believe that, the majority of Black homes don't have, you know, a father figure, because it seems that in, you know, when food stamps and Section 8 came around, the Black woman, they sort of just chose, you know, like they chose to be strong and independent and raise, you know, the children on their own and say, okay, well, we don't need a man. And now, you know, there's obviously more, you know, Black people in gangs, and obviously we know all the prison statistics. You know, the ones that, suffer from mental health, right? All of that stuff goes into it. And, you know, it all sort of just traces back to, you know, like the nuclear family, right? And I know you have all of these, you know, so-called experts, you know, or whatever, saying that, oh, okay, you know, like, you don't need the nuclear family, right? And, you know, Marxists for a long time have been saying, you know, the nuclear family is bad. And it is just, like, I don't understand how you would say that the nuclear family is bad when, you know, it is, like, it is proof. Right, because when people aren't raised in a nuclear family, right, when they aren't raised with mother and father, like, we just see the statistics, right, and they jump off the page. They are at such a disadvantage. How could you say that, oh, like, if they had had two parents, then things, you wouldn't have been different, right? And because we know that, you know, when you come from marriage, when you come from homes where you have a mother and a father, right, you're less likely to be in poverty, right? You're less likely to have mental disorders. You're less likely to commit suicide. You're less likely to wind up in prison, right? These are just known statistics. These are known facts, right? And so to say that, oh, we don't need the nuclear family, is a travesty. And it seems like, you know, somebody's trying to, you know, play games, right? Because there's no, you know, there's no way that you can look at all these statistics and just say, oh, nope, you know, that's not happening, doesn't change anything, right? You know, like, you know, the stronger support system, the raising of children, right? And before we move on, let's just talk about that raising of children, right? Because the nuclear family was for one reason. It wasn't for love and happiness, Like, all of that is crap. Right, when I read that definition of the nuclear family earlier, right, a group of people who are united by ties of partnership, right, partnership not meaning that, you know, they're just like a partner at a law firm or, you know, a partner on a team, right, but partner meaning that somebody has one thing to do and somebody has another thing to do. Right? And parenthood. Right? Partnership and parenthood. Right? So we're talking about two people coming together and saying that, oh, you know, it doesn't say anything about love. It doesn't say anything about happiness. Oh, where two people come together and be in love or be happy. No. They talk about partnership and they talk about parenthood, right? And that's logical, right? We get together as humans to be able to raise our families, right? So we don't have children or we don't have people that become, you know, non-functioning members of society. The more we continue to push this, you know, whether it's the people getting married late, people not, you know, having less children, people having children later in life, like the more we continue to, you know, push these, you know, different agendas, you know, the harder it's going to get to dig ourselves out of it. Because right now we are in such a messy place when it comes to the way that people talk about relationships and the way that relationships are defined, right? And when you talk to women, right? So, you know, so whether it's, you know, like me, right? So as a professor, I get to talk to these younger adults all the time, all day long. And it is just sort of shocking when you see some of the people that, you know, they wind up in school and, you know, they spend this time in school, you know, and obviously, you know, getting an education is, you know, it's amazing. And, you know, to experience, right, you know, like maybe you'll find your partner at college, right, which is awesome. You know, if you can, you know, find a partner in college, you know, you're 18, 19 and you guys finish college and you get married at 23, 24, you know, even 25. And then you guys go about your lives, right? That's amazing, right? And, you know, that's what should happen, right? But, you know, these women are being sold this dream that they could have it all. And, right, that is sort of where the destruction of that nuclear family comes into place, right? Because if you say, oh, well, you can go to school and then you can go have a career, and then you can work hard in your career, and then after that, you're going to be able to find a husband and then settle down and have kids. We understand that men can do that because we don't have to fight one thing that women have to fight, and that is biology, right? Because Father Time waits for no man or gal, right, in this instance. Guys, when you say, okay, I want to go to school, and then I want to pursue a career, and then I'm going to settle down, right, so you're saying that, like, that going to school and pursuing a career, you're going to wind up, what, 27, 28, 30 and then you're going to try to look for a partner, right? When geriatric pregnancy starts at 35 and at 30, 90% of your eggs are already gone, right? That's when you're going to try to look for a partner, right? And then you say, like, they get to that age and they go, oh, well, my looks have diminished. You know, like, I'm not as young as I used to be and as youthful as I used to be. And, you know, I gave all of my good years to, you know, a company who just doesn't really care. Or, you know, like, this thing that I was doing, this career that I was giving myself to and wasn't making me fulfilled. And it's crazy how many women, right, are 40s, 50s, and childless because they chose to pursue careers and then they hit the wall, right? They hit the wall because there was nothing, you know, when they wanted to date, because they're trying to date guys their own age. And if I'm 30, I'm 31, 32, I'm not looking for a wife who's 31 or 32. I'm looking for a wife who's 24, 25, right? They still have very good childbearing years, right? And if I can, as a 31 or 32-year-old, you know, attract another, you know, beautiful or whatever 31, 32-year-old, why wouldn't I be able to attract somebody, you know, 5 years younger, right, who's more at the peak, right, a lot less baggage and emotional damage, right? And these are things that women are sort of, you know, they're looking at, you know, they're maybe in the denial stage right now, because it's like, oh, well, you know, we're still looking back at, oh, you know, women didn't used to be able to vote, or women didn't used to be able to do X, right? And it's so easy to look back at that and, you know, say, oh, well, you know, that wasn't a good time, which, you know, for, like, for the most part, I think I would agree with that. Like, I, you know, it doesn't necessarily matter to me. You know, I'm married, you know, I have my own family, right? I got no real dog in the fight. So, you know, it's like, okay, like, fine, yeah, go and have your, you know, go and have your cake, right? And what they're finding out is, you know, no matter how much they want to make it, you know, like, oh, like, everything's going to be okay, it's definitely not going to be okay, because you chose to give your best years to a career or to, you know, and, you know, new days, new age terms doing you, right? You say, oh, you know, especially, you know, some of the more beautiful women, because it's like, oh, you know, I can get anybody I want. And then you go, oh, gosh, I'm 32, I'm 35, I'm 37. And the looks, you know, are starting to, you know, you're starting to get a lot less whistles at the gas station. You're starting to get a, you know, lot less head turning. And then you go, okay, let me try and find somebody to settle down with. And so, you know, for so long you had, you know, your choice to, you know, settle down with, you know, like some of the guys that, you know, are, you know, maybe in the top percentage of men. But when you get to 32, 33, 35, 37, guess what? Those top percentage of men aren't looking at you anymore, right? There's somebody that turns 18, 21, 23, 25 every day. And what you've done was, you know, you played the game so hard, you played yourself. Right? You had a hand that was dealt perfectly, right? You had 5, 6 spades. You know, you even had, you know, a couple of aces in your hand, right? And what you did was you waited to play those aces so they can get cut. Right? I mean, that was the spades metaphor. Right? So if you played spades, you got it. If you didn't, I'm sorry. But I don't know how we're going to sort of turn this around. But the hope is, you know, that, you know, these younger women are looking at these older women and just saying, hey, I don't want to be like that. Right? Because these women who are single and childless, right? I know I've said it, but I'm going to reiterate it. Right? These women are the least happy women on the planet. Right? Because, guys, there's only, you know, like you're chasing the bag or your career, right? There's only so many, you know, D&G bags you can buy, right? There's only so many Michael Kors purses and, you know, so many Louis and Gucci heels, right, that you can truly buy, right? But we understand that life is about people, right? So if you don't have anybody to share this life with, it doesn't matter, right? So you can go ahead and chase the bag and chase your career, but at the end of the day, everybody's looking for somebody to love, right? Everybody's looking for somebody to love them. And the sad part is that most women are actually looking to have a family, right? The society told them that they could have it all, but that's not true, right? And they're starting to see that that just isn't true, right? Because there's no way that you can go to school and then go get your career and then, you know, have your hot girl summers and then still think that when, you know, you're at your peak and you've hit a wall and you're over it and, you know, now you want to go try and find a partner, that you're going to be able to find a partner that is going to be suited for you, right? When you should have just said, oh, hey, like at 22, 23, my hotness is at its peak. You know, I have a lot less damage. I can attract a lot more guys. And so I'm going to get the best guy that I can get. And I am going to start a family. And I'm going to be the best wife I can be. But now you said, oh, okay, like now I've made a lot more money, which doesn't matter anyway, because all I want to do is be a housewife anyway. So the fact that I went and got a career and went to school and got degrees doesn't actually matter. And so what comes with that? Oh, now I have a lot more baggage. I also make my own money, so, you know, it's hard for me to deal with a guy because I know that I can make my own money. And now I can't get along with a guy because I need somebody that I can respect, and I've now made too much money to be able to attract the guy that I want. Guess what? So many women these days are finding themselves, they're putting themselves in these positions, and they don't understand the consequences of such, right? And the fact that women are hypergamous, right, which meaning they usually tend to want to date up, right? So back in the day, right, it didn't matter, right? Because you were just home taking care of the family, you made $0, and your husband made whatever he made, right? But still dating up, you know, like you would rather have dated the king or the president or whatever it was. But, you know, like you knew, you know, depending on what you look like in the family you came from, like where you sort of were, like, you know, like where you were, you know, where your status was. But now you're saying, oh, you know, I got my own money. I do this and that, and I make this and that. And you think that, you know, men are going to care about that. No. Men, right, outside of betas, right, real alpha males, they take, you know, responsibility seriously, and they are going to hold themselves accountable, and they want to be, you know, the head of a household, right? So now you have a bunch of women saying that, oh, hey, we don't need men, you know, we only want men for, you know, the, you know, we only want men basically for the gram, right? Nobody wants a man because they want somebody to take care of their household and lead, right? Not nobody, but, you know, how it's portrayed in society or on social media is, right, you know, like, they want the Instagram shots and, you know, all of the things that come along with, you know, being seen by the outside world as happy and good, but they don't want to, you know, do the work, right? They don't want to be, you know, the mommy that stays home and nurtures, right? They want to have everything. And I'm sorry to say, ladies, it's just not going to happen. Yeah, it's just, I really don't know what else to tell you, but you got one life to live, and as far as your biology goes, right, you can give babies, you know, you can have babies for a certain amount of time, and, you know, it starts to get super dangerous the older and older you get, right, and, you know, people have babies at 35, 40, but, you know, my dad told me this, and, you know, I continue to see it, just being a parent myself, right, and this is a young person's game, you know, being 40, being 50, you know, trying to run after an 8 or 9 year old is just, you know, that's not optimal. I hope that we continue to, you know, fight the good fight, all the red pill channels, you know, Fresh and Fit, Just Pearly Things, Thon, you know, everybody sort of just fighting that fight, you know, and it's, you know, it's nice to see, you know, after, you know, the Godfather, Kevin Samuels, passed away, you know, that the messages continue to sort of circle and live on, and, you know, I'm excited for, you know, Pearly Things, you know, how she has the wife school coming out, and, you know, all of the people that continue to go on the channel, and, you know, they all have different messages, and, you know, they portray themselves and the channel in different ways, but I believe, you know, it's all sort of preaching the same message, and saying that, hey, you know, like, we need to come back center, right? I don't understand what happened to family values, you know, what happened to responsibility, the milkman, the paper boy, he didn't even. No, but, yeah, we got to get back, guys. Thank you guys for listening to me rant and ramble and rave. Always thank you for supporting the channel. You know, I'm going to continue to, you know, try to put these podcasts out. And I just really appreciate you guys. And we're going to try and, we're going to try and get this turned around, right? So share this with as many people as you can. Once again, you're on Stomping on Eggshells. I'm your host, Anthony Newton, and I'm out.